Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the words of Jesus. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was speaking about the temple of his body. So the temple is where God comes to be with us, and that always has to do with his words and his promises, even when that word was a warning and a command not to eat that fruit. And then God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, calling out to Adam and Eve to be with them and to spend time with them. But in the words of our lesson, but they had broken his temple. And they were hiding. They had torn down the temple where God would come and have fellowship with them. Fellowship meaning he had planned to share all kinds of his good things and blessings with them. Again and again, God set up his temple in the form of his covenants and promises with Abraham, with Moses and the Israelites at Sinai, through the prophets. And again, they turned away, tearing down the place and pattern of being with God, of God blessing them. And so in the words of a parable that is, well, when it comes around, it is during Lent. So he said, I will send my son. Hold on to that thought for a while. Meanwhile, the Pharisees and the chief priests and the teachers of the law had it in their minds that the temple was the place where they came to bring their service to God. So what fine stones, what marvelous construction, what beauty and majesty, and that was where they came to offer the sacrifices, to bring the prayers, to make the vows, to seek the life of righteousness and service to God. And that thought went all the way through how they looked at the commandments. The 10 from Exodus. Or if you included every you shall and you shall not in the 5 books of Moses from Genesis to Deuteronomy, you could count 613. That's where that number among the Jewish people comes from. And then add to those what the Pharisees and the rabbis called the hedge around the law, and seek to serve God in every part of life. They failed. Jesus told them that. He said, you tithe mint and dill and cumin and forget the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Some temples need to be destroyed. Every temple that we think we are building and think we are the ones coming to God and not he to us, and every temple where we say, look what marvelous anything we have put in place. And Jesus tells the teachers of the law, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Because the 10 commandments are not given to teach us how to come to God. They are not given because God wants the best for us. They are not given because the 10 commandments can save our souls or our nation. The Ten Commandments are not given to save us or our nation, or to make us good or our nation. The Ten Commandments are given first to destroy every hope of righteousness that we build up inside ourselves, and to leave us completely penniless before God, standing before Him with nothing else than the fact that we are sinners. Tossed this back and forth with Herb Miller back in the day. He started it. The law is like a good sheepdog. I may have shared this illustration with you before, but here it comes again. You can see these on the internet, sheepdog trials. There are some where the shepherd sends out the sheepdog, and that dog tears off and races around to get on the other side of the sheep. Getting on the far side of the sheep from the shepherd, it then begins to run back and forth, barking and growling and snarling, sneaking up on the sheep, snapping at them, driving them away from every imagined and real danger that is out there away from the shepherd, and so driving them toward the shepherd. The law of God is like a good sheepdog. It threatens, it tells us that, well, apart from God, there is judgment, death, and hell. And it drives us. It drives us through the threats and the fear of the law. And when its work is done well, we as the sheep know that we need a shepherd. We need a Savior. We see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and know that He is the only one who can be our shepherd. Back to the first point. Here's where it gets unexpected. Very different, kind of strange, and many in the world would call it just plain weird. As Jesus stands before the Jewish leaders and says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," He is changing every term, every pattern, every way that we are to think about religion. And He is bringing something absolutely new. John tells us in the Gospel, "But the temple He had spoken of was His body. After He was raised from the dead, His disciples recalled what He had said." This is the temple of God's doing, God's work, God providing salvation. It's the religion where we don't come to God, but He comes to us. And so Isaiah talks about Jesus and calls Him Emmanuel, God with us. And with the Gospel of John, we say, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Here He is, with hands and feet. Here is God, born for you, there in the manger. Here is God, who promises to be with you wherever you go, to the end of the age, who says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there am I." This is a whole new way of religion. This is where God Himself has come to us to make us right with Him by His work on the cross. So we have a high priest who did not pull back from our need or from our weaknesses or from our sin and our guilt, but took the whole mess of us on Himself. And now we have a high priest in the heavens. We have God who knows what it is like to be tempted, God who knows what it is like to pray. So he is able to help us when we are tempted. He is able to lead us in knowing how to pray. He knows prayer because he lived a life of prayer. He knows sorrows because he walked the path of sorrows. And he promised to be with us again where two or three of us are gathered in his name. He dwells with us and joins himself to us and joins us to himself. And that is part of what baptism and the Lord's Supper are all about. And he is with us to the end of the age. But this cannot be put in place without destroying the temple of his body. Because he has come not simply to be with us through his word, he has come to stand with us in our sins, to receive the righteous tearing down of our religion, to receive it in himself. The religion of Jesus is the one where he, the sinless one, carries the sins of all the sinful. And then he calls us to come to him there, at his cross, to find out what he has done with our sins. And what he has done with them is they're gone. Completely gone, taken away from us, like the psalm says, as far as the east is from the west. Like the Old Testament says, like they have been thrown into the depths of the sea, never again to be seen. They are declared forgotten by God. And then he calls us to come again, this time to the empty tomb, to find out what he is planning to do with us. And what he is planning to do is to raise us up, body and soul, to transform us and make us glorious in his own image. Again, body and soul, which kind of started with the Ten Commandments. So this becomes God's final word on the commandments. He says, "You shall." And we say, "Lord, have mercy, I cannot." And he says, so to speak, he says, "I know. I didn't say you have to make yourselves such and such. I said, you shall." And now watch this. And then Jesus went to work on all of it, to provide that holiness. And we are in the middle of watching the work of God. It's begun, it's continuing, it's not yet to the end. We look at ourselves and we might get discouraged, but we look at Jesus and we'll just simply, he is amazing and he is able to do what he has promised. In Jesus' name, amen.